Our sermon today is based on a reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Thank you, God, for new names and new opportunities to serve you. Whenever fall comes around, I remember those long, cool days watching Dan, my son, play soccer. For the most part, it was fun, although his teams were always kind of mediocre. But he always had good, supportive coaches. Rest in peace, Fred Schroeder, and thanks, Rebecca DiLoreto. One year, the team's coaches were two young college-age guys. Although they had both played soccer themselves growing up, they were new to coaching and they had been recruited at the last minute, so they didn't have much time to get to know the players, so they gave them nicknames. Whatever was on their t-shirts, that's what they called them. They called Dan Morton because he wore a t-shirt from Morton Junior High School, and that was funny because that wasn't even the school Dan went to. Another kid was called Hollister because of his Hollister t-shirt. It was cool because the kids that came on board later got nicknames that made them part of the team at once. It's kind of like what happened with the apostles. The new guy, Joseph, or Joseph, came on board and soon got a nickname. Like his counterpart, John, the writer of the book of Acts, Luke, was astute enough to make sure his readers learned what different words they may not have previously known meant. Barnabas, Luke tells us, means son of encouragement. It also means son of prophecy, son of exhortation, and son of consolation. These are all gifts from the Spirit, prophesying, exhortation, and consolation. Luke said Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and his new name reflected that. Perhaps Barnabas was one of those gung-ho, ever-cheerful types who always had a good, encouraging word for other people, never putting them down, always finding the good in others. Maybe he was the team cheerleader, telling his fellow apostles, "You can do it, we can do it," whenever they faced opposition and hostility while presenting the gospel. Maybe he was the one who lifted everyone's spirits when they were feeling down. Obviously, he was very enthusiastic about working with the other apostles. Luke says when Barnabas first went to Antioch and saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and he exhorted, encouraged all the believers to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. We get a further glimpse of his encouraging persona in the story of Saul's conversion. You remember how it happened. Saul was on his way to Damascus, determined to arrest as many followers of the way of Jesus as he could. All of a sudden, there was a flashing light from heaven, and he fell off his horse. A voice admonished him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." Saul was blind for 3 days before another disciple named Ananias came to restore his sight. For several days, he stayed with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." Everyone who heard him was amazed. They said, "Isn't this the guy who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoked the name of Jesus? Hasn't he come here to arrest us and bring us before the chief priests?" Nobody trusted Saul when he came to Jerusalem. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't believe he was a true believer, that he had changed so radically. But Barnabas vouched for him. He brought Saul to the apostles and told them what had happened on the road, how the Lord had spoken directly to him. Barnabas encouraged the other disciples to accept that Saul had really undergone a dramatic change of heart and was really on their team now. Barnabas and Saul, now called Paul, went on many mission trips together. We heard how they were commissioned, set aside by the Holy Spirit to do special work. They were called to encourage the other Christians in different countries. They took a collection for disaster relief to Antioch. For an entire year, they met with the church there and taught many people. They spoke to new converts and urged them to continue in the grace of God. But they also encountered numerous enemies and blasphemers who tried to undermine their work and drive them out of the region. In Iconium, the disbelievers there even tried to stone them. In Lystra, where they healed a crippled man, the people wanted to make Paul and Barnabas into gods, and another group of naysayers did manage to stone Paul. It was most likely Barnabas's encouraging nature that kept him hopeful and focused in the face of all these hardships. It was Barnabas's consoling nature that kept them from despairing. Along with Paul, he strengthened the souls of the disciples and encouraged them to continue in the faith, saying, "It is through many persecutions that we must enter the kingdom of God." This was another way he demonstrated that he had the gift of prophecy. Barnabas didn't let any setbacks dampen his enthusiasm for sharing the word of the Lord. "They want us to leave? Okay, we'll just go someplace else," Barnabas said. "Somewhere else, someone else might want and need to hear us. Let's go there and find them." Barnabas took his faith seriously. Barnabas knew there would be tough times, but he also knew Jesus was there to help him and others through those tough times. As he empowered others, Barnabas truly became a son of encouragement, never letting anything get him down, always ready to move forward in faith. He and Paul made quite a team. They went through a lot together. They were best buds. They had some great times together and did some great work. And then they had a falling out. What happened? Paul suggested they go to the different cities where they had previously proclaimed the gospel to see how the brothers and sisters there were doing. Barnabas said, "Sure, okay," but he wanted to take his cousin, John Mark, with them. Paul didn't want to take him because John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia. He wasn't willing to have that happen again, have him run out on them just when they needed him most. The scripture says Paul and Barnabas had a serious dissension about this proposal. They almost had a physical altercation. In the end, Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed away to his homeland of Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas to go with him on the planned trip. It's really sad to think about how these bros almost came to blows. Was Paul fed up with Barnabas's encouraging nature? How could they not find consensus after all they'd been through together? I find Paul to be a little bit stubborn here. Why didn't he want to give John Mark a second chance? Why had John Mark deserted them in Pamphylia? Had he gotten homesick or physically sick? Was he afraid of all the ugly confrontations and the threats of violence they constantly faced? The son of exhortation and encouragement and consolation couldn't convince Paul to trust John Mark again, and so they parted ways. There is some consolation in this breakup story. Two mission teams were sent out into the world, not just one. It's encouraging to think that even with something so devastated as a caustic split like this, God found some good to use in it. The rest of the book of Acts follows Paul's trajectory, and we never hear much more about Barnabas after this. It makes us wonder where he went, what he did. Certainly, he never lost his enthusiasm for sharing his faith and encouraging others. Surely he kept doing the work for which he had been set apart. But did he and Paul ever reconcile? We have no hints about that. But as for John Mark, there is some indication in Paul's letters that he may have come around to accepting him again. He wrote rather urgently in 2 Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in ministry." The very one he had once dismissed as useless had become indispensable to him. He even called John Mark his co-worker. I hope he and Barnabas made amends as well. Perhaps Paul had Barnabas in mind when he wrote in Romans, "Those who prophesy speak to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation." He used all three words that are definitions for the name Barnabas, son of prophecy, son of encouragement, son of consolation. That's encouraging to think about. Barnabas was still on his mind. Sure, it would have been hard to forget Barnabas and everything they'd gone through. Part of the special work the Holy Spirit placed upon Barnabas and Paul was to be the faithful, steadfast ones who stood strong in the face of persecution and danger, thus setting an example for the other apostles. They were called to be the ones who kept others from being too scared or getting too discouraged. It's not always easy to be a person of encouragement. There are some people who are determined to stay down and resist all the efforts of others to cheer them up. But Paul calls upon us to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, to comfort and console one another, even when it seems as though there is nothing to be encouraged about. Yes, the world is in a rough place right now. There's so much going on that we sometimes forget where to turn. We even forget how to hope. The world sure could use some encouragers right now, someone to acknowledge, yes, hard and horrible things are going on all around us. There is pain and sorrow and death and destruction and war, and we feel helpless, as though there is nothing we can do. But we know it won't always be this way. We know we have someone to walk alongside us and encourage and console us and help us to look forward to a better, brighter day. Encourage one another, Paul says, with words of faith and fortitude. Encourage one another, Paul says, with hope and purpose. May we find in ourselves the gifts and graces that Barnabas had, the gift of spiritual comfort and the goodness and steadfast devotion that set such a wonderful example for his fellow apostles of how to keep on keeping on. His teammates nicknamed him quite appropriately and made him an essential part of their team, the team that, when all is said and done, will ultimately emerge triumphant under the leadership and coaching of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. God, make us all encouragers. Help us to be like Brother Barnabas, full of the Spirit, full of rejoicement, ready to see the good in others and offer second chances to those who need them. May we be the ones who console the sad and frightened ones all around us and help them become team players, scoring the goal of welcoming them into your kingdom. Amen.